You're younger, you want to know, you want to see everything, you care in what this person's doing, what that person's doing, and it's got to a point, I guess, I've just outgrown it, you know, and I don't really care what anyone else is doing. The Killer Keller Podcast.
KillerKellerOfficial.com. You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the App Store for free today.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Killer Keller Podcast. Big shout out to GraffitiKings.co.uk. We are live in direct central London, as you should be, could be, and even want to be. You won't want to be anywhere else, not at this time of the morning anyway. We are inside the venue, the place to be, with a hip-hop spokesperson, graffiti artist, a connoisseur of the culture, an all-round good fucking egg. TRC, PWS, I mean, he'll list them off. We got him here, the man I hope. How are you, my brother?
Cool, man, cool.
Good to see you. How was your trip? How was your trip over? Because you ain't local.
No, I'm not local, but I'm in the area a bit.
Yeah, you're writing yourself.
Yeah, I'm good, man. Yeah. The weather's been a bit harsh lately, but it's a funny period. But yeah, I'm all good. I'm good.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, when you break down the and we did kind of allude to it just before we went on. We did have a kind of quick debrief and a chat. You can get in trouble for walking down the road at the moment for a cup of coffee.
It's almost like a bit of a movie of a police state time, you know?
Yeah.
Something like a... Yeah. I mean, it is a lockdown, but it's... being almost a bit extreme.
It does feel a bit extreme.
Yeah. A lot of fear. You know, just from those employed to restrict laws or impose laws on us.
Impose heavy laws.
Are actually in fear themselves. You know, so.
You think so? Do you think that's a.
Yeah, I think there's certainly an element of that in the air with law enforcement. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I never thought about it like that. But yeah, I guess it affects everybody and everything.
Well, the law enforcement are being controlled, right? They have their orders.
Yeah.
You know, it's their job to basically give up their free will, right?
Yeah. That's
you know, and sign up for something. It's like joining the army. You know, you signing your free will away to take whatever orders are going to be given to you.
Yeah.
You know?
That's pretty mad, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, our free will could be described as being limited anyway, couldn't it?
As
a normal person, these laws are man-made by governments in different countries, and so our free will is already kind of limited. Yeah, compromised or limited in a way.
Yeah, it is.
You know.
We're jumping into the... We are jumping into this pretty intense to begin with.
What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. This is what's going on right here.
Yeah, but anyway.
But as graph writers, right, you guys work within a certain outer reaches of radar that I can't imagine... Correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't imagine any sort of restrictions being of any significance to how writers work. It's not, doesn't really, they're off the radar, right?
Yeah. Something that comes to mind there is, I think, is one thing in graph, especially if you're practicing illegal graffiti or is that I think it draws the freedom of spirit out of you.
Yeah.
Because you, in things you do or expeditions you go on or experiences you have through going to do certain things, take actually, you walk through walls of fear. You grow as a person. You overcome things, you know, physical limitations, mainly mental barriers. So maybe if you're entering a location to paint something, or going on a mission of overcoming loads of hurdles to get to somewhere to do something, it's having the courage to do that and breaking through boundaries of fear grows you as a person, and certainly would blow away limits, mental limits, you know, that you would have as a person, which makes you more free, absolutely. So. Does that make sense?
Oh, mate, we have only just got started. This is going to be fire. Okay. For those of you that don't know, we're talking about in retrospect here.
I'm just a normal writer, man, really. I'm just a writer, and the way graffiti culture is now, I think I'd even be put in a box as being a purist, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's so many factions to graffiti and whatever you want to call street art, or subcultures within a subculture, you know? And I'd be boxed as a purist. I do graffiti, traditional graph.
Yeah.
And I think I was kind of brought up by elders that you had to do it all. Whereas now you can just do one element. You can just paint a legal wall. You can be a muralist that does commissions. You can be just a train writer.
And you dig
that
it all.
Paints.
I mean, you dig it all, don't you?
Well, I do dig it all. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I do. I appreciate all elements of it: canvas work and the guys that paint the trains. I think for me personally, that does more for me. To see these guys that still paint properly, you know.
Yeah.
That for me is
super important.
Yeah. And I understand their experience and why they do it. Okay. I know maybe some developed guys that can paint good pieces and good murals look at what some of these young guys paint on trains and frown upon it, you know, saying, oh, it looks shit. Excuse my French, you know, that's whack. Oh, that's crap. I could, yeah, but these young guys, you know, and even older guys that maybe still do it, you know, there's the experiences and the effort that goes in and the risk that's taken is, for me, means so much more than. I appreciate seeing a nice mural. I love art anyway, and I always have done since I was a kid, and all types of art. But I think growing up and looking, obviously, at the hip-hop side of graph, coming from New York and it being on the subway cars, especially for me as a youngster, seeing old-school London, coming to London when I was a kid, the tubes were destroyed, you know. Every line had stains on the old grey tubes.
Steel injection, it had that kind of... Steel
injection only caught a tiny percentage of what actually went on, you know. It's a great documentation. Obviously, technology and cameras are better now, so you see that old footage. It's just one snippet of a period. There was much more to it than that. I mean,
explain more. Give us a kind of visual description of what, you know, coming into London and what was.
Well, when I first came into London, I was quite young. I was brought by an older writer from my area who took me to Covent Garden, and travelling on the underground. Then there was almost like. Even then, there was different scenes, you know. There was, like, insides, outsides, you know, pieces. Tracks, you know, some people did it all. Some writers were just focused on pen tags on the inside, stainers, yeah. You know.
Idea was a lot about that.
But before Idea, you know.
Really,
my memories, yeah. I'm not taking anything away from anyone, but you know, before that, I think there's too many names to mention, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to miss anyone out.
Man, but... that really was an amazing vibe to grow up in and see. Now, you know, there's no... I've noticed a few more insides recently popping up, which is fantastic. And and even actually one writer I've seen is hitting outsides of BRs with staining pens. I've seen a lot of recently. I've seen myself in the flesh on the Southerns and... I totally understand where that guy's coming from, you know, because it's like that.
Yeah.
That's where it's at, really, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, bringing it back.
Yeah. You think you think it mirrors a sentiment, the state that the country's in, for those kind of risks to be taken and those kind of activity, you know, like the stainers and things like that. Do you think it'll go back to, like, the 90s, the late 80s, as far as that's concerned?
Some guys still rack up.
Mm.
It's quite mad because they rack up the new brands that are made for writers that are on sale, but they'll go racking, you know. Wow. And wow. Yeah, well, that was all part of it, you know. And, and to some guys, it still is, for sure. For me personally, it was a major part of it.
Mm.
You know, I'd spend... a lot of my time shoplifting paint, pens, whatever was around, camera film. Yeah, obviously, coming from a real poor family anyway, I had no money, so that was the only option. And I guess, certainly back in those times, you couldn't buy your paint if you were a writer.
I mean, morally, you couldn't. Didn't, yeah.
No way, man. Yeah. You get this badly, you get robbed, you get cussed, you get fucked off out the scene, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You get, you know, yeah, for sure. Of course, modern times have brought different people into graph and street art has certainly opened up... I was going to say for normal people to get involved in doing art on walls. Well, it's kind of one way of putting it, I guess.
Did you go public?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so they don't have to go shoplifting to make their mural.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
but there are guys, for sure, that still rack up and they're professional. And it's also professional, you know. I mean, I used to find it really exciting. It was a massive buzz.
Yeah, well, you know the endorphin levels and that alone.
Yeah, like, totally, man. And not only that, when you go out racking on a Saturday, and what you painted that night is what you acquired. So your colour scheme was what you could get.
Mm-hmm,
you know, for writers back then, your piece was judged as well. And not just style, but the colours you had. People automatically knew what you'd racked. What if you'd racked certain brands of paint? You know,
you could tell just by the colour.
Yeah, of course, man. You know, because we, you know, English car paints. There was no pinks and lilacs, but you know, those paints were German paints, and only certain shops had them, and your piece held more weight if it had these colours in, because those brands...
Whoa.
Yeah, well, they were expensive, you know.
So you were basing it...
So now that element is gone, because you can get shades of everything in whatever brand you're going to choose to paint your piece with.
Mm.
That element of the piece is gone. So there's a massive magical element missing...
Yeah.
In modern graph.
Yeah, I get it. That's actually...
Does that make sense?
No, absolutely, and it's blown my mind, because, you know, I get it, like, there's the act that's prior that leads to the... Well, you've just said there about, you know...
But much more so then.
Yeah. And to think that, to the detail, like, you guys, particularly back then, would look at a piece and you'd look at the colours and know directly. And arguably, you would know the colour, you'd know how hard it was to get the colour, and you knew it was racked. You may have probably known where they got it from, yeah. And you knew how
there's
hard
possibly,
it was.
If you were local to that person,
you'd
sure.
know how
and
hard it was.
People used to travel far and wide, you know, to certain shops, and discovering shops that held certain brands was knowledge.
I've never had that conversation on here before, and I've never had it explained.
It was knowledge of plots, you know. So that made your credibility as a writer. This no longer exists in a modern. I'm not saying not all modern day writers. It does. There are a percentage of modern day writers that still go racking paint and still still living that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, which is totally.
Yeah. So they. Yeah. But that, you know, I guess. And there's more to it then, because to actually know of spots, to paint a wall in the daytime, you know, because once upon a time there were no legal walls, you know. I mean, there wasn't any.
No.
You know, and, you know, there was places you could paint that were tolerated. Maybe you wouldn't get any trouble, but, I mean, to have knowledge of spots to paint a wall, to have knowledge of spots to paint... A train or a tube or a trackside, it would all added to your whole being as a writer, you know.
Like a repertoire.
And it's still, yeah. It still does.
Yes.
Because these guys that paint trains now, obviously they have to know where to go and paint them, right?
Yeah.
But having that knowledge of where the depot they're going to paint, you know, they you know, or just one depot, maybe they know 50 or 70.
Yeah.
You know? And but they all this adds to a writer's being, you know, whereas a muralist or a person that paints a wall doesn't have that.
Street knowledge,
yeah. That's what it is, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
And that's, I guess, where you're coming from. Like you said at the start, you come from a purist point of view, and that.
Well, I'll be labelled as that. I'm just me, you know. I don't label myself as anything.
Nicest guy, by the way, nicest guy on the fucking planet. I might add as well. This geezer here, like, you're not gonna get a more nicer dude than this guy. I tell you.
But you know, human nature is to put a person in a box, right, a pigeonhole, because it's everything's got to be pigeonholed for our mind to be labelled. But I mean, you know, I'm just a human being. I'm just another writer, but I've got a bit of experience, and
you've got knowledge,
and I've thought a lot about it over time, you know, and really. From lots of different angles and perspectives, and
what perspective of other people's or yours?
Just try and look at it all, you know.
Yeah. The culture, as in you're looking at all as a culture, or yourself.
Yeah, both.
Both, yeah.
Yeah. Quite often, sometimes, still question myself of why I do it.
Do you?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you reckon writers do that a lot? Question why they do it.
Well, I guess everyone's different. I think some people probably don't ever do that, and some people, you know, maybe do. You know, some people have questions, and some people just glide along willy-nilly and in whatever direction they're swayed in and never question anything.
I admire them people.
Easy life.
It is. You know, as we said earlier before we went on, it's like, you know, the less shits you give with things that you care about, the happier you become.
Yeah, right. No fucks given.
But you know what happens? You know what happens, Hope, is then all of a sudden you get those one moments where the hip-hop in you kicks in and you're like, you're being tested, challenged.
Man. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And then it's like, it's on.
Battle style. Yeah, that's it.
The hip-hop in you, that's what it is, I think.
Yeah.
And you've been into hip-hop from the jump. Like, this has been a...
Do you know what? I was first introduced to hip-hop by a guy I was at school with, and I really didn't know anything about it, and he was totally into it. He was at lunchtime going off school premises and putting a Kango hat on, and and he was into graph, actually, and I got into graph a little bit. I was really young, and he really you've got to get back into it, you know, and sort of enforced it on me a bit, and he done me this mixtape from Mike Allen's National Fresh show, and I listened to it on my tape recorder back home, and I hated it.
Just
didn't like
it.
Any of it, and I listened to it a few times, and I didn't like it.
You didn't get it.
I didn't like hip hop. No, yeah. I didn't like it, and I don't actually know how. I think maybe a few weeks or months passed, and I listened to these. He'd done me a few tapes, and I listened to it again, and something drew me to it. And probably thinking back to it, it was probably like the horns in some of the tracks, you know.
Mm.
The jazz horns, the funk that actually drew me into the music, and then it grew somehow from there.
I'm going to admit something, and I think you've just triggered me to recite how I got into it. I have to admit, when I first heard hip hop, I come from a heavy metal background, as I mentioned to you. I didn't get it, but my friends were so adamant that this was it. Listen to it more.
Yeah.
After maybe about 4 or 5 goes, I started getting the messages.
Yeah. Yeah.
Funny, isn't it?
Yeah. Something grew, because it's an amazing thing. This music's made from other music.
Mm.
I didn't even realise that for a long time, that you know, the basis of the music was other people's records.
Yeah.
And then these guys are rapping over them, and they've got messages, they've got comedy, they've got humour, they've got...
Yeah.
Like you say, the hip-hop battle element.
That was always my favourite, man.
Dissing, you know, and then it's like this, you know, and it's like this mad combination. It's like...
Yeah, I know. There's
nothing else like it, you
know? Still isn't, which is...
And there isn't, and it's certainly evolved, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's actually created other sub-genres of music.
Grown with time, yeah, exactly.
You know, look at...
Exactly. Yeah, loads man.
It's mad.
There was a disassociation, I call it that, with graph as we went into the mid-90s. It certainly felt like, you know, that Hit Squad era, the Daz Effects, the Redmans, the Smith & Wessons. The
golden years.
Those golden... Yeah, you know the golden years I'm talking about, people. But they didn't feel like... It felt like, graph was there, but it was its own thing. It didn't feel like it was so... This is an element. It had its own thing, but it wasn't represented in the same context as it was in the early doors. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why do you reckon that was? Because it was more street than anything, graph, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like we were saying earlier, you know, that if you want to look at the elements of hip-hop, it's like graph. Graph is like probably... It's like the dirtiest element. It's like the most hardcore element. It's like the only element that could be illegal, really disliked by general people.
Yeah.
I mean, not so much now, but certainly years ago, it was fucking hated by people, you know. People hated it, you know. You know, and... So... What was the initial question?
No, actually... it was just the disassociation with...
the rest of the elements.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally... I mean... As some people argue, I mean, graffiti isn't an element of hip hop. I mean, to me, I got into graph hand in hand with hip hop, and I always considered it an element. But as we know, I mean, graffiti is very old, dating back to caveman times, you know. And another good realization is that. The hip-hop I got into came from New York and the States, and the graph I got into did as well. But actually, after quite a long time, the realisation came that, I mean, I preferred English graph, UK graph, London, London graph, you know, and actually that originated, as more commonly known now, wasn't actually originated from hip-hop. It was
just its own thing, wasn't
it? You know, graph graffiti was being done on the underground by punks, the punk era, you know. So we have our own version of graph, I think, in the UK. And I personally believe it was started in this city.
Yeah.
And this city, to me, has always been the place to come from a young age. This area that we are in now was I'll come here as much as I could. Jumped the train by any means, taking different routes of avoiding barriers and ticket inspectors to be able to get to Westbourne Park, Ladbroke Grove, to see what I believed was the best graph. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was like we were saying earlier, you know, that the West Way and the Pit was, to me, was like the birth of hip hop. Was like, you know, Mecca or however you want to look at it.
That's how
it was to me anyway. Yeah. And I mean, you know, and I still hold that in some sort of fondness and in some sort of element of a romantic way.
Yeah.
Even though the Pit's not there anymore, but and Westway is certainly changed, to say the least. You know, and the trains have changed. You know, the little Mets running past are not what they were. But there's still an element of that vibe to Trellick, and I mean, it holds in my memory.
The Pit. Again, we were saying just before we started, I think you and me both concluded that it was like being in the heart of the city when you get into that place.
Yeah, totally.
Scary, that's haunting, noise.
That's what it felt like, yeah. It felt like the heart of something, for sure. The heart of something, yeah. And it had it, like we were saying, it had its own vibration in there.
Yeah.
The walls emanate. There was an energy there in that basketball court that's not quite describable, but it was certainly almost visible, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It made you feel like, yeah, shit just goes down here. What are we doing? What am I doing here?
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, I used to... We were all aware of the risk of coming there and going and entering that realm.
But you pieced in there too, didn't you?
Yeah, I pieced in there at quite a young age, actually, with an old friend of mine, Ephos.
Mm-hmm.
We met at Hammersmith Station and we had our car paint and we were brave enough to do a piece in there, which lasted a little while, actually, considering we were out of town, as you know.
Do you think the scene needs places that... Because that, you know, to piece in there is one thing. To be a spectator and walk in and see it, you know that the people that have done their thing in there, you kind of have in your head the lengths that it took... Do you need places like that, surely, to make it to give the kudos that...
Well, then that was a different time.
You still don't think you need it now?
And it's like that time. The Pit was like the Hall of Fame, and now people in all sorts of towns and cities across the country and the world say, "Oh, yeah, this is our Hall of Fame." But that was that was like the Hall of Fame, West London Hall of Fame, you know. So the people that used to go and paint in there, you know, held credibility. You know what I'm saying? They already held credibility to do what they were doing in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now anybody can go paint what they call a Hall of Fame. To me, they're not Halls of Fame.
No.
They're tolerated or legal spots, but the Hall of Fame is gone for me. You know what I'm saying? But the generalisation of the term Hall of Fame. I understand why people use it in that, but I mean that was the Hall of Fame, I think, you know. But maybe people in North London would argue that Tufnell was their Hall of Fame, or East London would argue that West Ham was theirs. But I think the Pit was a bit different, you know, for sure.
It was its own ecosystem of school of hard knocks.
And the stuff that was produced there in the 80s was legendary, you know, by the local guys as well, and even in the 90s as well. Those photos used to circulate around the country, you know. I've still got loads.
Have you?
Yeah, man, loads.
Oh, I'd die to see.
Loads.
It was just one of my favourite places.
That era was crazy, especially, you know, and there was a massive evolution in graph as well from the 80s through the 90s, the style changes and the people change. But I think the 80s graph certainly held a lot of energy in the work, a lot of magic and energy. There is always a lot of energy in it, and I think certainly that was to do with the rest of the hip hop at the time, the popping and the breaking, and it had that encompassed in that energy. Whereas in the 90s, I think that the change of that was because hip hop evolved. You had the 90s era of hip hop. And you could see
shiny suits were popping up, and
there was a mentality change of in graffiti style. That I guess if you went to the Pit in the 90s, you could see the change of mentality. Things were a bit more not like hippie, but there was that element in it rather than that raw hip hop energy in it. It was different.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
Because the genre of acid house was what people call happy hardcore now. I don't know, we used to call it rave music, but I mean that came about. So that was in graph rather than the hip hop. A lot of people went into raving, right? So that was in graph. So
and there's plenty of people that got into it.
The 90s styles had changed, not so early on from local guys like Info and KTC, but you know, other people, you could see that they were listening to different music because it was absolutely visually showing in graph for sure. You know, not everyone, but yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, and I remember. Yeah, totally. And again, you know, look, this is important. These are conversations that we haven't had. This very conversation is new to the show. Reciting Tufnell and all these other amazing spots. Stockwell was another, you know, great spot. I mean,
yeah, I don't really know when Stockwell come about. I wasn't around for a while. I'll tell you what there was. Just thinking back to our old Hall of Fames, I was taken to a spot at Kilburn by the tracks. Kilburn Park, round the back of Kilburn Park Station, there was a disused area of buildings that was next to, like, what we call the Thames Link now. It might have been called the Thames Link then, but that was a mad Hall of Fame.
I've been told about it.
Yeah, that was mad. There was some mad pieces there, you know, all 80s pieces. Mm. And I went there in the 90s, actually. I had a friend who lived in Kilburn Park, Robbie, and his mate Vex took us around there. I actually slept there a couple of times, a bit grim, but missed the last train home.
Yeah.
Slept there with a breeze block as a pillow.
Oh my God,
dude. Proper hardcore, yeah.
I've heard it all, man. You graffiti guys, you wave at storms differently.
Sometimes you've got to sleep wherever it's necessary, you know. Luckily these days it's a bit more luxurious of a vehicle to sleep in, but back then they're well.
Yeah. Learn how to drive, kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
We this is all very, you know, nice and cozy, this nostalgia thing.
Yeah.
And what we're talking about is the development over periods of years. And now, I'm kind of the thought that the association with music and graffiti is even more closer than perhaps it was before. I'm thinking maybe social media has a lot to play to that strength. Do you know what I'm saying?
What's the question?
It's more of amusing. Like I'm thinking perhaps music at alongside graph.
Yeah.
It has more of a companionship where before it may not have done.
Yeah.
Something has activated that connectivity again. And I'm thinking maybe social media is, you know, the platforms that we all kind of know about, the Instagrams and stuff.
Yep.
Like they add a forward push in the scene and make it correlate with other creative disciplines a lot more based on that medium and platform.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's much more open and expansive than it ever has been, for sure. As we know, back in the day, like writers in New York, a lot of them were into metal. In this day and age, people listen to all sorts of genres of music. I don't know whether it reflects in their graph or their work or what. I don't know, because it's all so vast now.
And there's trends, isn't there? I was seeing on, I don't know whether it's because I flicked and saw it, you know what I mean? And I saw it one too many times. But the trend of those flares in people's tags, it's almost like I see it on a reel.
Okay.
That is totally a social media trend, isn't it? You know what I mean?
I don't know where that come from, to be honest.
I'm so over
the flare at the flaring tags. Yeah.
So fucking over it.
I don't know. Each to their own. I guess it's a development of technique with the can. That originally was probably put in pieces and people sort of put it in their tags. But of course, there's lots of different caps and better brands of paint to be able to do better techniques now. But I mean, in saying that, I say better techniques. I mean, people had really, really shit paint in this country.
And they were killing it.
And done amazing shit with it.
Yeah.
I mean, The pit again comes to mind, non-stop, and all the legends painted in there. But also like part two in York, you know.
Hold tight, part two. Jeez,
doing the realism stuff. Yeah. I mean, you know, some people said, you know, he's the originator of that, and he could tell you himself he wasn't, but he certainly was took it to a level and worked on. That
you talk about unsung
really
heroes,
crap
man.
Paint, you know. Yeah. I remember him saying he used shit paint, you know, and he really was shit paint. Mm-hmm. Garplan, really bad, duply colour, really bad paint, like water, you know. Yeah, people done mad shit out of that stuff, amazing shit, man, you're crazy.
Do you think there's space for uniqueness? And I say that because there's a lot going on, isn't there?
There is space for uniqueness. But I mean, in one respect, in graph style wise, everything's been done, but it hasn't, because you still see things. People may start and be painting 1 or 2 years, and they're coming up with new things. You know, that maybe okay, it's not maybe to original. You know, writers that are a bit older, maybe it's not to their taste, but they're coming up with new stuff. And some of it's a bit out there, or it's all, traditionally it's wrong, you know. The letter shapes are not right and stuff like that. But I mean,
that's subjective, isn't it?
But yeah, well, it is now.
Yeah.
It's subjective now. It was a point where it wasn't, you know. And really, there still is a kind of unwritten law to good and bad, especially lettering and colour schemes. There is.
Yeah.
There's an unwritten law to it. I mean, it's just to some people that paint, the street knowledge side of things is irrelevant to them. They don't need it. They're just going to go rock a wall, and they don't need it. And perhaps some people now don't even understand that element.
Yeah.
But these guys that are out there, you know, still doing track sides, you know,
yeah.
are not always focusing on style, but they're focusing on getting up in spots.
Yeah.
And they have the street knowledge to get to that spot, to know that line they're painting, to know that depot they're going to. And that is a is something in itself. I really kind of believe that a good writer, or what I would think is a good writer, has to go through that process and foundation.
Like a prospect.
For me. Do you understand? So I don't want to mention any names, but people are getting up and they're having all that knowledge of and that, like, what you call street knowledge, you know, and going through that process, and maybe they get bagged, and then maybe they're going to go and focus on walls and then progressing style and pieces on walls or on canvas or whatever, but they've had that foundation, they've had that experience, you know, you know, of the street knowledge, and that to me holds, it means more, you know. When you meet these people, you know they've been to this place. You know, I don't want to mention any names of places either, but you know, there's certain places, and there's places I haven't been, for sure, that are really high regarded places. You know.
Yeah, I get you.
If you know what I'm saying, you know, to venture into these places and to paint, it doesn't really matter what you paint, even. But you've been there and done it. You've found a way in. You've gone through that. I mean, to have that.
Yeah.
To have experienced that is really good, really special, really. Yeah. It means much more to me than some, you know. It's, I don't know.
No, I feel you. I feel it every time.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like going through the hardship.
Yeah.
Because going. Right, we mentioned Gloucester Road for one example. It's like the hardship of going there and painting the missions. I mean, now it's different than what it was, but you know, a lad going through that and having that experience, and maybe going once or more times, it doesn't matter. But that. Foundation in there,
yeah,
you know, and then you see him painting walls and progressing is much more than some guy that's not like, not everyone can go to this place. It's impossible for every writer. If you live in fucking in Glasgow or Bristol, you can't go obviously to this specific place I've just said, but I mean, it's wherever you are.
Yeah,
you know,
it's the intel.
Yeah,
it's the
initial foundation and work and that adventure and you know, that adds to that person's it's not even a repertoire. It's their makeup. You know, it's their hip hop make or graph makeup of them. Yeah. You know, that's.
And it blows my mind, even, you know, the likes of yourself sitting there and explaining it and knowing in my mind, I'm like, yeah,
I'm trying to explain it the best I can. I don't know whether I explain things well or what, but
I get it all the time in my mind as a fan when I'm sitting alongside somebody, and that feeling of, yo, you know so much, and you'll know. No podcast will ever get that kind of energy out.
Yeah, I know what you're saying,
but
at the same time, I know so little. You know, I can meet people, I can meet other writers, and I spend a bit of time with them, and I feel like an idiot, for sure. You know, because yeah, man, totally. One guy this week I met.
Yeah.
I felt like I've been in graph a long time. Okay, I've done this, that, and the third, but I meet this guy. I spend a bit of time with him. It was an amazing experience. This guy's experienced loads of things I haven't, and done loads of things I haven't. And for me, this meeting this guy, it put things in a different perspective again. It's like, fucking hell, what the fuck have I been doing? You know? You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
Seriously.
I get you.
And it, you know, and truthfully, that, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I really have a lot of respect and time for that.
Yeah.
You know, and it made me feel humble. I was humbled by this guy, you know? And this guy is not bragging or boasting, but I can tell from just by spending time with him and a few things we do touch upon and what emanates from him, he doesn't have to tell me. I can feel it. I can see through the presence of this person.
It's powerful. Yeah.
If you've got the eyes to see, yeah. If you've got the eyes to see, you're blessed, you know. And
hope, man. I don't feel
blessed
like
into being humbled.
Yeah, and I think you definitely. I mean, look, this is your podcast, my brother. I'll go and talk about you, and I'm telling you now, like
I'm talking about
you. You're on a different vibration. Like, I don't feel like there's anything. You're humble and you're confident, but you're egoless, and you're all the great things that make a true craftsman. There you go. Of what you do, you know.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I've been a terribly egotistical person in my time, you know, and I can look back at myself and think. Look back at myself in disgrace, you know, and think, fucking, I was a complete idiot. Because at the end of the day, I've got nothing to be egotistical about. Like I say to you, I can meet other people and I know, you know, what they've accomplished and what they've done is far, you know, on levels far greater than what I've done. It does, regardless of the painting itself.
But isn't that part of being the study, isn't it?
Yeah,
and enjoying this study.
Yeah, being a student, right?
Yeah, I still love that. I mean, every episode, I'm like
even the master is still the student, really. Yeah. If you're realistic about it, you know, you never stop learning whatever we're doing.
Yeah. Sports players, musicians alike.
That's it. Yeah. But it's the same in anything, isn't it? You know, a guy that's had a football career for a long time. And has achieved legendary, but he's got all this experience. Even if it's like Paul Scholes, isn't it? You know, he's never like a total don.
Yeah.
He was never like the David Beckham of Manchester United, but he always had that experience constantly. And he carries all that, you know,
all that work and
experience he's got. You know, he has.
You know
what I'm saying?
No, I do know exactly what you're saying. Gives
Black
you a
Josh
piece
done
of
a badass tune about Paul Scholes. Have you heard that?
Yeah, here we go.
It's fucking sick. Banger. Big up Black Josh.
Hold tight, Black Josh. What was I going to do? You entrust people like I love people like that. I love it when
workers, but like
DJ Craze. Not all of you will know who DJ Craze is, but. He's a great example of someone that underplays himself, but you know he can go the distance if he starts scratching and going down that road. He'd fucking destroy. And that's why he's won 3 times in the world, you know, and 2 in a team. It's actually sometimes less is more and you draw back because you know the power of the velocity and drive that you could throw into something. But you know yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's it, isn't it? Know yourself, know thyself.
Is that an ego thing, you think? Is that
No, knowing yourself is everything, right?
Yeah.
You know, because... Yeah.
Yeah. What else do you know?
What do you want to know?
What do you... Tell me more. Tell me more about your philosophies on... on
philosophies.
Graph right now. Yeah. Seriously, because, you know, you're one of the few... people that I could lean on for articulating.
I go into fucking like realms of speeches and different patterns of maybe what people would call philosophical things on graph, but at the end of the day, now I don't care too much about it.
Talk to me about that.
Well, when you're younger, you want to know, you want to see everything, you care in what this person's doing, what that person's doing, and it's got to a point, I guess, I've just outgrown it, you know, and I don't really care what anyone else is doing. But I still have my own relationship with it, and I still paint, and I still like to try and progress what I'm doing in certain weird little ways to make, you know what I mean? Yeah, so I think that's what keeps me going with it. It's like a creative journey in trying to get better at what I'm painting or exploring little different avenues in it. I paint a piece and I think I've been doing letters a long time since I was a kid, and I look sometimes at my letters and I think, oh man, I still can't do letters, you know? For real, seriously. And it's like a never ending,
I beg to differ.
it's a never ending drive to try and do some good letters. But I really enjoy the colours and different techniques with the spray can, obviously. Yeah, I'm totally into that, putting paint on the surface with spray paint. I love it. It's just personal now, really. But obviously, I've got a lot of friends that paint, and they send me stuff that they do, and I really like it when I get, you know, because I look at theirs and it's totally different to mine. I'm like, fucking, that's mad, you know?
I really
like to see. And sometimes I look at Instagram and I see different people painting stuff, and it's like, yeah. That's mad, you know. Some of the European guys are really high standard.
Oh yeah,
paintings, and some this guy's doing that thing, and it's like there's so many different type, you know. It's mad. The variations in it, and some people don't want to paint beautiful things. They just paint black and white, like look like New York throw ups from the '70s.
Yeah, I love that too.
Actually. I mean, at first I despised that, and I thought, fuck, what the fuck, man? But now I look at it, and I can see where they're kind of coming from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, they're finding something in doing that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the repetition of certain
writers. There's a lot of repetition in Graf, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I love his repetition, the way
Spat.
That, yeah.
He's terrible, man.
What?
Yeah, Spat, he's awful.
Get it? You can't see this face right here, I'm telling
Sorry,
you.
I'm only joking.
He can't see his face.
No, Spat. I love Spat, man.
This is the beauty of pixelation, right? I have to remind myself that you aren't seeing this reaction, right?
No, yeah, Spat is great.
Oh, I love his repetition. He's a great example,
He has a little bit of magic in his work as well, and his... He's got his solid letters, and
yeah,
you can tell it's him.
All day.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the funk, isn't it? Yeah. That's the funk. If you get all the components right, as we were saying, get all the right components, all the real ingredients.
Yeah, he gets what he does right for sure. And there's loads of people like that.
Yeah.
The list is endless, and some of you know. And I look at what I do, and sometimes I really go in on what I'm doing, and I just add more and more to it. And I go on someone else's page, and they're it's simple, sometimes so much better. You see a slam piece, it's like, fuck, man. Mm, so good, you know? He's got his method and it's so good. D is a prime example. Timeless shit.
Timeless.
Yeah.
Do you think that's... Because obviously, like, you know, we go out to all different kinds of people that watch this, and for the uneducated... You know, we're all kind of zoomed out. We see things more as wide as we can of the scene.
Yeah.
What you're talking about there is very much zoomed in.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Also, I sometimes have a break from Graf totally for a week or two, and then you get a little bit of a fresh perspective. And I don't do it on purpose. I just get into working and just like, you know. And don't paint for a couple of weeks and don't look too much at anything. And you come back and it's kind of...
The world's full again.
Yeah, yeah, it's more refreshing. It's more vibrant, you know, than when you're looking at shit all the time. Too much of anything makes you an addict.
True.
Yeah.
And that can be said for a lot of things. And I would argue that it becomes such an insular place where you're constantly... you're like, yeah, too much of anything is quite addictive, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and when does something become...
Variety is a spice
What do you think of street art and all that?
I think Graf itself, this is what's always in, infused me about graph is that, especially when I was younger, younger writer, it never got boring because, you know, I'd have a little few days where I'd be practicing. I mean, I tried photorealism, you know, just totally fucking inspired by it, like Pops and Part Two, and was trying to do that. And then, you know, say it come over me and I'd go out bombing, I'd do a track walk, you know, and that there was so much variety in it. Then you'd go racking and get paints, and then you do a piece, and then be looking at watching a depot back then, and there was so many
fulfilling
obviously
areas.
Obviously, I don't do all these things now. I'm older, but
no, retrospect.
Retrospect. There was so much variety in it that I never did a lot else. You know.
You know, what I find interesting about the graph scene,
elements within an element.
Yeah. And the fact that. Actually,
not that in beatboxing, no.
No, well, no, here's the thing with beatboxing is I know that I can, back in the day, again, we are retrospecting on this one. It's going out and, you know, performing to, you know, 4K people, for instance. I know instantaneously when I beatbox to that amount of people that I create that ripple effect of, right, that'll get me another gig and there'll be a bigger gig. Do you know what I mean? Like, all the same, similar consistency, like when you saw us at Bug Jam.
Yeah.
It's that kind of desired effect. But with graph, which is, I have so much more appreciation for, particularly in this day and age of the way people consume technology and information,
yeah.
Is you guys would, from the smallest tag to the biggest layup, piece in a layup, to the biggest wall. And it was a real, it's what they would call a slow burn, you know. And then, you know, you get these really famous graffiti artists now. And regardless of how they got famous, it's like it's still taken those incremental steps, which take a long time compared to a performer or something.
Yeah.
It's mad.
Yeah, and you say that. I mean, I remember I've certainly met graffiti people that have picked it up really quick. Years ago in our own crew, there was a lad, I mean, we were all maybe 20, 21, and he was 15. And he got so good, so quick, it was unbelievable. And
really? And
he sort of overtook a lot of people in our crew, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, he was
like,
really,
that happens, doesn't
really
it?
Took to it like a duck to water. Yeah, amazing. So some people, I think, do pick it up really quick. And other people never really get it on a style element, you know.
People get into it for different reasons, don't they?
Yeah, well, there's all that as well, right?
Yeah. They get into it.
Yeah, I certainly got into it for my own reasons. It took me away from my home life. And the same thing many people have said, it gave me a feeling of being somebody when I really felt like I was a piece of... not piece of shit in a oh, I'm a horrible guy, but very low self esteem when I was younger, you know.
No, really, I can relate
very,
with it.
Very shy. And
I can
very,
relate with it.
Low self esteem, and I wasn't nurtured properly growing up, and it gave me that was the thing. But also incorporated with that was this mad art form, you know. Which was infusing and fucking inspiring and fucking all these other elements, you know.
Yeah.
So, and the adventure and...
The adventure.
The adventure has always been a big part for me, you know. And still is. I still want to go and adventure loads of places I haven't been, you know, especially around the world, outside the UK. And obviously we're limited at this time to doing that. And obviously if you're not financially comfortable, you're a bit limited there, but you know. Yeah, but that's certainly what I'd like to do, yeah. More adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Adventure, what?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. I can imagine the adrenaline rush of any... I mean, can you imagine adrenaline rush when we all get to go out?
It's just going to the places as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
I always feel like I meet cool new people... I feel like it's an accomplishment in itself. It's like, yeah, you know what? Because next time I'm in that borough, or next time I'm in that city or country, I know I'm in safe hands, or I know I can rely on, you know, it's like connective dots across the world.
Making connections.
I love all that too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you can meet some great people, can't you? Mm. I certainly have done. Really, actually, sometimes I think about it. I'm really blessed, and the people, some of the people I met in Graff, I'm blessed. I've cherished, you know, totally. You know, okay, there's others maybe a bit undesirable or whatever, but still, I still have love for them people as well. Yeah. On some level.
Yeah.
You know?
You've got to love them.
I do see the good in people, and sometimes I'm told it's not a good trait, but I still do. Mm. I see good in everyone. I've always been like that, you know?
It's really important, isn't it? In a world that, and not just Graff, in a world where egos and things can be misconstrued or, you know, as people... the one thing I don't want to be is misunderstood.
Yeah, but do you know what? If you're a progressive person and you are evolving in your own life, and sometimes you can come across someone and people say, oh, he's a complete cunt. He's a, I know we're live, but is this that, you know, and he's not liked. But if you look at that person and you've grown yourself and evolved yourself, you can see that person. You can see that person is capable of growing out of that. And I think...
Yeah.
I think it's the best thing any one human can do for another is to wish that for that person, to grow out of that, to grow out of it and see it for what it is and change. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know exactly what you're saying.
You know, not all people are progressive and evolving, but I mean...
You have to be able to see that outside
of the... If you've experienced it yourself, the next person is capable of that, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's about, you know, it's a, I think it's a reality of things rather than, you know, than seeing someone just an idiot. I mean, some people are idiots. There's no two ways about it. But, you know, everyone's got this thing in them, this life force that can be tapped into. Realizations can be made,
and also and what's progression important?
Can be made.
Your progression can be made.
And it's gone away from hip hop again, but it is hip hop. It is life. Hip hop is life. Life is hip hop anyway. So it's all the same.
It certainly is. To us and many other people.
Yeah.
And we all shouldn't be the same. There's a fruit bowl of friends, and I think, you know,
it'd be pretty mundane.
Yeah.
Planet if yeah. we were all the same, and it's, if you want to relate that into Graff, it's like people have all got their tastes and preferences, but if everyone painted the same thing, you know, it'd be pretty fucking boring.
Dry, man.
For sure, if everyone made a hip-hop tune with the same beat and the same bars and, you know, it's got to be different, right?
It has to be different.
You know, you can't just have one fruit. It's got to be a variety, you know, this is...
Yeah, and that's what that really is the ecosystem of Graff as it stands.
You're asking what I think about street art and stuff. I like some of it.
Yeah, street art. Yeah. Give me your accounts on that. I'm being intrigued because, like you say, an all rounder.
Yeah, some of it I like.
Yeah,
some of the art's fantastic. Some of the messages is great. I think because as graffiti writers, you know, we're mainly about getting up and self-promotional, and even we have a crew or several crews that we promote. You know, and like we're in a little army or some shit. But what happens in Graff, and we've got an amazing platform for a voice. And it's not really used that much. But the street art element that's come about, however it's come about, I mean, you know, obviously everyone knows Banksy and a lot of writers don't like Banksy or whatever. Personally, I think it's fucking genius, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And... I personally think that, my point of view is like he's helped him and his street art thing has helped Graff be more acceptable to the general public. It's give us more, it's eased things up for us, you know. it's eased the restriction a little bit. And as I was talking to you earlier about the reactions, especially for on railways, you see, you know, like I say, the reactions on railways years ago, especially underground, was it was a disgrace. It was disgusting. The draft. Now you see railway staff taking pictures. Some railway staff have got Instagrams, you know,
where they.
And now I see one guy who's a railway worker and he just posts graph. There's loads like it. You
That's
know,
amazing.
On trains that come into his depot, he takes photos. They love it.
That's
true. But this is a total shift in consciousness, you know,
for
that's
sure.
come about. And street art has helped push that along and make it more acceptable.
Yeah.
You know, and not only that, you've got generations of people now that do these jobs that were younger and probably liked it. So and they still like it as they're adults. So
yeah,
we've got a shift in consciousness there, you know, which is great.
And we have to remember, zooming out once again, that we're talking about a culture that, you know, is 40, 50 years old and some. You know, the narrative, the story is only going to ever evolve. You're pushing against a tide. You'll eventually break through. And this is a part of that breakthrough, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, a total change.
How cool's that?
I think it's great, man.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even my dad and his wife several years ago, and I was really concentrating on work. I was still painting a little bit. And I remember going around to see him and they said, oh, don't you do your art anymore? You know, because the Banksy and the street art thing had become so popular. And they were like, you should do it.
Yeah, they were
telling me, like, years ago when I was younger, getting so much trouble for having paint and constantly drawing and... being an outcast to the family, and years later, these people are telling me, "Why don't you do this anymore? Do you still do it? You should do it. Why don't you know make you know?" It's like,
"Hello, only 20 years late."
Yeah. It's like there you go. That's what that's done
to
people. It's reached.
Yeah.
It's reached different classes of people, and you know, made them aware. And it's like a new energy, isn't it? The street art side to it. It's like a new energy that's reached a lot more people.
Yeah.
On different levels. So even fucking Lord Felch sitting in his fucking mansion, that's got, something by, the president's wife having Ben Ayn in the White House.
Mad,
you know, or whatever, however that come about, you know. That shit is amazing, if you ask me.
Oh, bro, honestly.
You know, okay, the writer on the street is still maybe hated, you know. Maybe the guy going to commute down the Jubilee line and seeing force everywhere on every available surface is not happy, but he likes...
Okay, force.
But...
I think I'm with you, because when... even the most hardcore writers, there is now a place... where in the scene, with the way that street art has been embraced and the way graffiti is being digested on platforms and visibility, there's a lot more of it around.
Yeah.
I think the stories unfold. The more you see these characters on the track sides or on the walls and et cetera, the more you feel like they're a part of your community.
Yeah.
They're a part of your life.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the stories.
Yeah.
Because it's like music's the soundtrack, but when you see a graffiti piece and visually and it's there and it's always there, it feels like home.
Well, normally this is another mad thing, isn't it? Commuters travelling to work by the underground or commuter trains. If a name is up enough and it's repetitive, Without even realizing it, subconsciously they're seeing it, and they are seeing it, and it's like that's mad, isn't it?
Mad.
Don't you think? You know, it's like
subconscious.
Like
David Blaine shit, or whatever his name.
I mean, I remember being younger and riding the lines and just being absolutely fucking blown away at how many diets I'd see.
Diets,
you know, just like just couldn't believe this guy was like done. There's so, you know,
Just,
you know, and you travel like, I travel like 3/4 an hour on one light on one tube line somewhere far out, and you've been there as well. Mm. And it's like, so, and so what I'm trying to say is like, you know, I'm looking at that. I was a writer, and you know, I was obviously a train journey for me. I was just fixated on graph, you know. I'd
still do that shit.
You know, but these normal people that also get the trains do see it, and it makes an imprint onto them, you know.
Whether they know it or not.
Yeah, even on a subconscious level, for sure. They, you know, without realising, they're seeing it, they're looking, part of them is seeing it, for sure.
You know what's, you know what, and you hit a nail on the head earlier when, because my dad, right, bless him, he knows, like, I like that stuff. He knows I like that stuff that he knows that I've grown up with, right?
Yeah.
But, and he'll say Banksy, he said Banksy. Yeah, last yeah, time. Yeah. I was like, geez, like, even my dad knows what Banksy is. That's a, you know. He went up to London. I think he went to see a football match or something. I'm not a big football fan. I don't know too much about, so I don't know anything about my dad's football preferences. But he went up there, and the second thing that came out of his mouth, but never mind the game, he turned around and he was like, "It's like graffiti. Why'd I do it like that?"
Yeah.
Now that coming from a 70-year-old man, right?
Yeah. Okay. But it was a genuine question.
It was a genuine question, yeah. And I felt it most because my dad knows who Banksy is, and he wants to know what the motive is behind the rest of it.
Yes, that's it. Why?
I would never have had that conversation with him ever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
think Banksy has made him notice it and ask the question?
Yeah. I really do.
Yeah. But it's a good question. Why do they do it? And there's loads of different reasons people have for doing it, right? You know, like I said to you, low self-esteem, to be somebody. It's fucking great fun. You know, daring, it's adventure. It's, and some, you know, in yeah.
It's like, famous five like, shit. It's like going
out
and doing it.
It is. Yeah, for sure. You know, and there's a little gang of you and you go out together. Where are we going tonight? We'll go here. Let's go. That spot. I've seen this spot. We'll go there, you know.
Mm.
How do we get there? You know, well, we go this, that, and the third to get there. And then we've got to climb up.
And
there,
don't try this at home, kids. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Come on. We're talking about something that's
pretty. Yeah, but that's it, isn't it?
You know? Yeah.
And,
yeah, for real. It's all. It's you know what? Recipe.
Some years ago, I was quite active myself, and on one particular line into London, and I was a bit of a social cat where I lived, and I'd always go around the pubs and people would know who I was, and one day I walked into a pub and I went to the bar and ordered a drink, and there was a guy, I just knew him, he was a carpenter, Chippy, and we just maybe met on a job, and he said to me, "All right." I said, "You're right, mate." He goes, "I fucking hate all that shit when I go to football." I said, "What?" He goes, "All that shit down the train." He was really like
aggressive about it.
Yeah, he was really meant it. He was like, "I absolutely hate it." He goes, "Especially when you get to Alexandra Palace, Hornsey's everywhere. It's just, I just hate it." He's, you know, and he was like, you know, he really was passionate about
it. Wow.
And then he said to me, "But some of the stuff on your page," and at the time it was Facebook, and I never put any of my own graph on Facebook. I'm not even on Facebook anyway, but back then I was. And other mates who were just mates that, you know, that I've grown up with, but they didn't write or anything. They went into graph. They would tag me if a bit of graph come up on Facebook and tag me in it.
Yeah,
you know?
I'd be
like, "Oh, mate, leave it up." Yeah. But he kept seeing these people tag me and stuff and thought I was doing all these self-photorealism and shit. And he was like, "Some of that stuff is amazing, mate. I'll take my hat off to you." See, but actually, what I was doing was the stuff he was seeing, you know, on the train line, which he hated. But I never told him that, you know. But yeah,
I find it interesting. People's, you know, I can't get. I wouldn't want to see graph in any other light. I want to know it's raw.
Yeah.
The element, the risk element has to have existed. And as an organ, as a whole thing, you know, to just have like murals.
Yeah. And, that's the thing I like about it. I like getting on a train and seeing these guys. They still do it, you know. Mm. They're up on these spots, and they're, you know, and I totally feel that.
Mm.
You know, totally. I feel it. I know what they've gone through. Maybe they've got shit going on in their lives, and maybe they're not having even such a great time going out and doing it always. I understand. I like the rawness.
Yeah, me too.
I like seeing the dubs and the throw ups and the reaches, you know.
Mm. Yeah. It's just for me. It's like that's.
Also, like to see a banging colour piece on the track side as well. If and when you see one, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Don as well, going past the fucking little quick gallery, you know, of bangers. It's like, yeah.
That just sends me in a
it's real, isn't it? You know.
I love it when there's like back to back to
and
back.
And I'd rather
to
see a photorealism thing on the track side.
Because then you know how much risk and an element.
Then it gives it more.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You do it in the dark.
Then that's a whole other level.
You've got to take cover from traffic, you know, passing traffic, and you can still pull something like that off. Then, yeah, that's sick.
I'm still blown away when I see high levels of burners like on track side, because of that reason. It's like, like the time, that's not a lot of time. How did you do it? How you know what I mean? Like, that's still,
it's a bit different doing it in the dark and that little bit of pressure, you know, because there's always obviously,
but as a kid, I used to do it, and I still think to myself, why do I look at it in that way? Why
I've had some amazingly peaceful experiences on the tracks.
Have you?
Yeah, because it's like, you know, it's just, when I was going on the tracks, some of the experiences I have were so peaceful, you know?
Mm.
It's so quiet, and everything stopped running. It's just so quiet and peaceful. It's like, I guess it's in the middle of the night. Most people are asleep and...
In a lot of ways, in the middle of nowhere, I guess.
And then people are painting pieces like in that. That's mad, isn't it?
And then actually,
some of these guys I know as well go in busy times when there's loads of traffic flying past and they're doing a piece.
And they're fighting against the tide,
They're painting for a minute and lying down, up for a minute, painting, you know, and achieving stuff like that.
I can't tell you, man.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah, you've got to hand it to...
Yeah, it's dope as fuck.
Yeah.
I love it. As an observer. Seeing it, you know, and I remember someone saying to me years ago, like 2004... 2005, our graph's finished now. It's all about walls, productions, blah, blah. And I remember listening to that and believing it, you know. And here we are, 2021. Everything's battered. You see, fucking on the internet, there's trains running every day. The tracks are battered.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
And you know what?
Love it.
People are sending the pictures. They're sending the videos in.
Yeah.
You know, people are as proud to have had it on their phone.
Uh-huh.
And
this is another thing, right?
They're the conduits.
People that are not even involved.
Yeah.
People that don't paint are seeing a running train or, you know, underground traffic and videoing it off their phone and sending it to graph pages or posting it on their own, and it gets ripped. And this is how much more accepted it is.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's gone, man.
Yeah.
It's gone.
It's beyond anything that it was now. I feel like it's into its next phase.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, it's changed.
And it's exciting.
It's changed. I guess the next phase is a way of putting it. It's changed with technology. Technology's changed it. And yes, it's still in its rawest element.
Mm.
You know, there's some of these guys still going out knowing plots where to raise paint and pens to practice with, and some people are still in that raw element of it, and technology hasn't changed in that respect, but in others, it has. Things are getting recorded, right?
Yeah.
Documented by
Hello.
All the time.
Yeah.
It's mad.
It's a good time to be.
It's still good. Although it's lost. In some ways, it's lost a lot. It's gained. It's gained more as well. Yeah.
And on that note, my dear friend,
we're out.
Smashed it. The man like hope inside. What a pleasure.
Yeah, peace.
Yeah.
Peace to all.
I think we set the world to rights, my friend.
Yeah, probably.
Comment below. Big shout out to Hope. Hold tight. All original crew has been watching.
Peace, Bat, by the way.
Yeah. Big shout out to you lot. Don't forget, sharing is caring, all right? Kellervision app is up and at them, all right? So get on a free download. We Out Like In Was Out of Fashion. Stay lucky. Don't talk to any strange ones. We Out Like In Was Out of Fashion. Stay lucky. Peace.